Good morning. I'm Vince Campbell, and since I've already been introduced, I'll just move into this. This is Amy Pelley on my left. So we're going to talk a little bit about the health status of people living with paralysis in the United States. We're going to talk a little bit about the preliminary results of people living with paralysis in the United States. As Gloria indicated, we've roughly got 33,000 respondents so far. Expect the full data set in December, and then more detailed analyses will follow that. So these are the two presenters. We have nothing to declare or disclose. So a recap, survey domains and methodology. Planned on 70,000 respondents over 12 months. We're using half-year data set, so some of the results are bound to change. Some of the analyses were affected by small sample size, small cells coming out. So the way this survey is handled is initial qualifying questions, which Gloria has covered, that are asked. If a person qualifies as having paralysis, they get the full survey. If they do not, they are excused. And this is a replication of the original survey's questions, of the questions that were used in the 2009 or 2006 through 2009 survey. There is a small subset of questions in the middle here, and they were inserted to basically gather more information and to confirm spinal cord injury for people who report spinal cord injury as the reason for their limitation. And then the additional items for qualifying paralysis respondents were based on general health status, financial aspects of health care, secondary conditions, utilization of health care and barriers to receiving health care, and rehab and voc rehab. And the questions used here, okay. So the administration of the survey is telephone-based. Cell phones were included. The questions that are used here on the right-hand side of the screen were taken from existing surveys so that the results could be compared back to existing standardized questions from the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, the American Community Survey, the National Health Interview Survey, the Survey of Income and Program Participation, among others. And it allows comparison between different groups of people, those with paralysis, those with disability more broadly defined, and I'll talk about that in just a minute, and people with no disability or who are in the general population. And again, this is based on half-year survey, 33,000 respondents. And the two questions for the BRFSS, I had it here just a moment ago, but basically it's general activity limitation. Are your activities limited in any way? Are you limited in any way in any activities because of physical, mental, or emotional problem? And the second question, because of physical, mental, or emotional problem, do you require special equipment such as a wheelchair, special bed, special telephone, that sort of thing? Those questions were developed post-Healthy People 2010 development. They were then existing questions in the National Health Interview Survey. They still are in the National Health Interview Survey. And they were recommended for use in national surveys coming for Healthy People 2010. There is a change now that we're not going to talk about. This is Amy Pelley.
Good morning. I'm going to review with you some of the basic distributions between the BRFSS and then our this survey that we're talking about today, mostly demographics and then some general health distribution as well. So the slide that you see right here is just a gender distribution showing that we found very similar distribution as does the BRFSS survey, so within 4 points. Age distribution among the populations was also very similar, so we're just validating that we are verifying that we have a similar population. So this is where it starts to get really interesting. The educational attainment from the populations with paralysis, disability, and then the general, no disability. The high school attainment, the population of less than high school, or that's not what I meant, I'm sorry. Paralysis, disability, and no disability have about the same high school attainment or high school degree attainment rate. However, the college degree, for people who attain college degrees, there's a clear distinction that people with no disability complete college at a higher rate. So income distribution as well, there's clear discrepancy. 41% of people with paralysis earn less than $15,000 per year, whereas only 10.9% of people with no disability earn less than $15,000. And then again, look at the no disability people with no disability. 72% earn over $25,000, whereas only 33.5% of people with paralysis earn. Or I'm sorry. Oh yeah, yeah. earn over $25,000. So racial distribution is about the same for all three populations. The Burvis study reports out people reporting poor or fair health. And so we compared those things between our study and the Burvis study. People with paralysis, or among people with paralysis, 56.3% would say that in general their health is poor or fair. People with disability, 39.2%, and then people with no disability, around 10%. So in the last 30 days, look at the question at the bottom. Now thinking about your physical health, which includes physical illness and injury, how many days during the past 30 days was your physical health not good? So a huge, huge discrepancy here between paralysis and no disability and also disability as well. So now thinking about mental health, including stress, depression, problems with emotion, how many days during the past 30 was your mental health not good? So about 70% of people with no disability reported that they had 0 days of their health not being good. And only 3% reported that they had poor health every day of the month. Whereas 10% of people with paralysis and 14% of people with disability reported poor health, mental health, all 30 days of the month. So this is really interesting. The smoking levels. This is what we expected to see for the most part. People with paralysis and people with disability smoke at much higher rates than people with no disability. So there's a lot of room here for further analysis, and we're looking forward to that with the full data set. So there's also a lot of room here. This graph is really interesting. Wanted to point out that people without a disability, 37.0%, fall into the overweight category, whereas 23.7% fall into the obese and morbidly obese category. However, 37.6% of people with a disability and 32.4% of people who have who experience paralysis fall into the obese and morbidly obese category. So there is clearly lots and lots of analysis that could be continued from this preliminary data set as far as obesity and weight issues are concerned. So in summary of the data we just presented, paralysis is more common than disability among men, people who are middle-aged or older, low-income, and Caucasian. The percentage of people with paralysis who report their health to be fair or poor is 5 to 6 times higher than among people with no disability. And people with paralysis are more likely to report physically and mentally unhealthy days than people with disability broadly or no disability at all. And smoking and obesity are clearly health problems among people with paralysis, or they're larger health problems than they are among people with disabilities and no disabilities. So thank you for your time. We'll turn it over to the next presenters.